We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The conference finals are in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders, that's big time here in Phoenix, are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. Yep, that's right. Up to $10,000 in total prizes are up for grab each day. The best part, it is completely free-to-play. The DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from what team will hit the most three-pointers to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code TBPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code TBPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
Everyone, Tim Kitzer here, the voice of NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcome to the Solar Panel. Tonight's matchup, Espo versus the Silver Fox versus Carmel Thunder. Ooh, boomer shakalaka. Ahoy, ahoy.
Game four of the NBA Finals goes to the Milwaukee Bucks. Despite an unbelievable effort by Devin Booker, 42 points, 28 shots, ultra efficiency, doing everything that he can to will his team to victory, he could not ultimately overcome the mistakes of Chris Paul. In a game that appeared to be one of the worst games that Chris Paul has played as a member of the Phoenix Suns, he had 5 turnovers, 10 points, and in the crunch time, something that I wrote about on Brightside Today, I said, if we can get this team, the Milwaukee Bucks, to those clutch time minutes, we have the advantage. Well, unfortunately, we didn't have the advantage tonight. Suns lose. The series is now tied 2-2 as it heads back to Phoenix. Welcome, everybody, to the Suns Jam Session and the Solar Panel Podcast. My name is John. I'm joined by Matthew. I'd ask how you're feeling, but, you know, I think we're all a little pissed off. We're a little upset, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, John. I mean, we're upset. The first thing I wanted to do was come on here and do the choke sign. Like, Chris Paul, who am I? But, you know, as much as I miss being choked all the time, I can't do that to the guy right now because I'd feel bad later. So fucking terrible loss, man. Yes. What do you think, huh, buddy?
Absolutely terrible. Espo, bringing you in, how you feeling, what you thinking, how mad is Twitter at you?
Everything you want is on the other side of hard. This is the NBA Finals. This wasn't supposed to be a cakewalk. You know what both teams did? Exactly what they were supposed to. They won at home. The Suns now have to come back to Phoenix, back to that loud crowd, and win at home like they're supposed to, and then set themselves up for two chances to win a title. Anybody saying the refs were the reason they lost can stop it. This was not the refs. And the refs kept Devin Booker in the last 3 minutes of that game by making a no call that was damn obvious a foul. And I think even Devin Booker knew he fouled him on purpose and was shocked that he didn't get called out. Right? I am not happy, but this is exactly what both teams were supposed to do. So if you want to prove you're champions, you want to prove you have what it takes, and you want to prove that everything this year you learned lessons and it led you to this point, go home and win. Go 2-1 in your last three games this season, or 2-0 in the next two, and bring the title home. Prove that you've deserved this. That's all you have to do.
Bring it in, Saul.
Well, I could go with the refs. I could go with the refs and say that they were awful, but they were awful for both sides, like flat out. They were terrible. They were just awful. But I don't feel like at the end of the day, they were the ultimate difference. The ultimate difference was, I don't know, from the jump, I felt like the Suns were playing well, but just a little too sloppy for my liking. And when you look at the end result, CP3 definitely, in my opinion, probably his worst game of the season. And for all those people that were riding Devin Booker in his 10 points last game, CP3 deserves just as much this game because he was awful. I mean, awful. And hey, you have those games, but crunch time, under a minute left to go, you're in the game and you turn the ball over like that. That's just something you're not accustomed to seeing CP3 do. But again, 17 turnovers to the Bucks 5. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, you know, you can go down the list. There's a myriad of opportunities to lay blame here, and we'll get into it. But I'm just disappointed that the Suns, and typically the Suns find a way in these situations. They have all playoff. This time they couldn't get it done. But again, to Espo's point, I don't know what the hell everybody else was thinking, but this shit wasn't going to be a sweep. And the fact that we were sitting there chanting Suns in 4 didn't mean a damn thing to me because I knew the Bucks were going to come out and play good, and they did, and they took care of business. And now they're coming back home with an opportunity to swing the fence in the other way, and I think they will. But, hey, it's a tough pill to swallow when it's that close. And guess what, guys? I just want to say this. For the first time, maybe perhaps when we were down 2-1 to the Lakers, we were feeling a little bit like this. For the first time, I feel like we feel vulnerable right now. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, crap, maybe this won't go our way. You know what I mean? But that's a good thing. That makes these games way more exciting than just the sure thing. You know, this wasn't a coronation by any means. And everybody was feeling that way before this series started. And I just want to say, don't panic. It's going to be all right.
Yeah, well, you're talking to Suns fans. The panic's already started. But that part of the problem is the fact that, let's be honest, we pretty much as fans got happy on the damn farm. People thought 2-0, here we go again. This is going to be an easy ride. It's not. Tonight, this series officially became an NBA Finals. This game was the game everybody was waiting for. The heavyweight bout. Back and forth, knockout, drag out, big time plays on both sides. The Suns didn't come out on the winning end tonight. They're going to come home, and they've pulled it out at home all year. This crowd, the Suns need you, the crowd, more than ever on Saturday night to go out there and be a difference maker, very much like the Bucks rode that crowd in the fourth quarter. Get out there, support this team, be loud, have them win at home. That's what it's going to take.
If you're going to throw in the towel right now and say, oh, this is all over, then you can go F the hell off, period. Yeah. You're not a Suns fan.
Enjoy jumping off the bandwagon.
You're not even close to a Suns fan.
Well, I guess
Suns fans can just be Suns fans. Let them do the Suns
in 4. If you're going to jump off the bandwagon right now when it's 2-2 in the NBA Finals, then you can F all the way off because I don't care.
So this is going to get me really awkward. I'm just kidding. I didn't leave.
We thought John was ready to jump off the bandwagon. No, seriously.
I think that there's a lot of, you know, things that we'll discuss here momentarily, but there's a lot of frustrations that we're feeling right now due to a lack of execution. But if you think about it, there's a lot of positives to take away from this as well, that this is a team that didn't play near its potential again and was in it in the last minute. And, you know, moving forward, they can take solace in that, and they can improve upon that. This is still, I still believe it 100%. The Suns are the better team in this series. We're a better team. The Bucks might have the better player in Giannis, but we have a better team. And I've been talking about it, that Chris Middleton will have his game. He does every series. He gets one of those 40 burgers. And it happened to be tonight. And it happened in the crunch time with the crowd behind him. So there's there's that. And there's plenty to talk about. Plenty to talk about on this edition of the Suns Jam Session and the Suns Solar Panel. So if you are watching along live, we appreciate you coming here for the Suns therapy session. Make sure that you hit the thumbs up button in the chat. You subscribe. If you're listening on the Bright Side of the Sun podcast network, please subscribe, rate, and review. I've already cracked open my beer, so no chugging with the fellas.
I'll crack.
Thank you, Matthew. You'd really
Invisalign and all. All right.
There you go. All right. Let's talk about this game, baby. So 109-103, the Milwaukee Bucks win, scoring 33 points to the Phoenix Suns, 21 points in the fourth quarter, tying the series at 2-2. And I got to admit, it was really interesting watching a Milwaukee Bucks home broadcast. I've never really experienced one before. Watching Jalen Rose sing or, you know, chant with the crowd beforehand, you know, Bucks in six, and seeing it just, you know, kind of through their eyes and really walking through who they are as an organization, all the great things that they're doing in their community, and how great Giannis is. It was really like, I just hadn't experienced that. And they're like, oh, and by the way, Devin Booker didn't play too well in the last game. But of course, I'm going to bag on the ESPN broadcast because I've been doing it the entire playoff series. Matthew, did you catch any of that, or am I just completely off?
No. I'm a grown man now. I don't give a shit what ESPN does or talks about. It's all a show, John. They're trying to put on a show. They're trying to feed the crowd, get them into it. So I don't believe anything that they say. Even if Skip Bayless says Suns are going to win in five, Suns are going to win in seven, I don't care what he says. I'm just here to watch the games. I watch the halftime. I have it on mute. I don't even care what they're saying on there. So it doesn't bother me, man. Grown man right here.
Breaking news. Matthew Lissy, grown man. Back to you, John.
Never mind. I'll leave
this
it there.
This just in.
Look, ESPN can say whatever they want. You know, Matthew's right. It's all a show. They'll play it up to the crowd, the home crowd in Phoenix when they're back here.
But you know what? Saturday. The home crowd should boo that broadcast the entire time they're on the air. Go for it, Suns fans. Do it. Fuck them.
Who cares? You want to boo somebody? Boo the Bucks. Boo Chris Middleton.
Boo
every
everybody.
Time he touches the ball.
You can't spell Booker without boo.
This is what I'll say about the Bucks. And this is the only thing that I will say about the refs and how. Listen, across the board on Twitter, whether you were a Bucks fan or a Suns fan or someone that didn't really care who won this series, right? I saw tweet after tweet about, my God, these refs are so inconsistent. They're so inconsistent. Drew Holiday is just murdering dudes after every screen, grabbing, pulling, pushing. Not one call until like maybe the end of the third quarter, he finally got a call on him. And I'm like, dude, this is BS. He's the most physical guard in the league. The fact that he didn't pull one foul until the third quarter is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And because of that physicality, it wears people down. And Chris Paul he looks a little worn down. He looks like something's going on with his hands again, but you know, I know Espo was joking. You know, we're going to find out he has two broken hands after the series is over. But listen, he had a bad ligament in his arm heading into game six against the Clippers, and he freaking dropped a 40 burger or a 30 burger or something like that. So I'm not going to use that as an excuse. He was just really bad tonight, and that's that.
Look, but what they need to do is they need to sell those fouls, on Holiday. What Jay Crowder did effectively tonight was he sold it when there was contact. He made it clear there was contact, and he made it where you couldn't not call a foul. Start selling it on Drew Holiday. And usually Chris Paul is a master at that, and it hasn't happened this series. We haven't seen Chris Paul pulling the strings on the defenders like we have all playoffs. Look, if you're going to jump off the bandwagon, if you're going to say bench Chris Paul, Chris Paul's trash like we're seeing in the chat, enjoy your broken ankles. You know, you're not needed here at this point. You know, and no disrespect, but that's just ridiculous. Let's keep some perspective. Yeah, he played poorly tonight. Was he a big reason they lost? Hell yes. But he's still a big reason that they're here, and you can't wipe that out because of one ridiculous game.
Well, and I think, you know, again, going back to the physicality that the Bucks play with, I did a retweet from game 6 of the Western Conference Finals where it felt like, again, one team was being rewarded for playing physical and having that type of physicality, and the other team was being penalized for it. And see, Giannis too. Giannis does a lot of high moving screens where he leans into guys and they don't call it at all. There was a couple plays where the teams were trying to fight through the screen and he's moving with them as they're fighting through the screen, and there's no calls there. And again, you know, you're not going to put this entire game on the referees. You can't. But we can all notice bad officiating. Tessa's point earlier, Chris Paul, or I'm sorry, Devin Booker fouled out. And then he fouled out like twice. Yeah. The Chris Middleton play that really sealed the game, that was another foul that they've been calling the entire series. And they didn't call that. And it was funny how during the broadcast, they were mentioning one of the referees, Courtney, I forget his last name. They're like, it's his first game ever doing an NBA Finals. Good for him. And he's just blowing call after call.
Yeah.
You know, there was the trap play at the end of the game where the Suns were purposely trying to trap to get Giannis to have the ball. They could foul him. Yep. And they just called the foul. I mean, it's the inexperience of some of these referees were detrimental. But again, not the sole reason the Suns lost. It's a factor, but it is not the sole reason.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, the other thing is Giannis, he wasn't, you know, otherworldly like he was the last two games. You know, he played well. But, you know, I was listening to Kendrick Perkins before the game, and I felt like what he was saying was coming to fruition. He's like, Giannis is great, but when the game is on the line, if it's a back-and-forth game like it was the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, you can't rely on him to get you a bucket because they're not going to give him those calls near the basket. That's why they're going to go to Middleton. And sure as shit, that's exactly what they did. They had to go to Middleton because he's the only one. He's the automatic bucket getter in the fourth quarter for them. Giannis couldn't do it. But the thing that Giannis did do, he did a couple things that, you know, intangible-wise, you know, made a big difference, like the block on DA on the alley-oop. That was a huge, huge play. Defensively, he kept them in the ball game. But offensively, you know, you can't rely on him. And you thought that you thought the Suns were going to take advantage of it. If you had told me that Devin Booker had 42 points tonight, I had told you that the Suns were going to win by 20. But everybody else didn't step up.
Well, look, no, if you want to be mad that they blew the game, yes, I'm mad at that too. They should have won this game. They should have. And one area that I think we can question and we can wonder if it was the right move was to sit Booker for that long. I understand you wanted him there in the end, but if you blow that open when you're up 9, you may not need him at the end. And you take him out when he's in such an offensive rhythm. I just wonder if maybe that was he kept him out too long. If that was too much of a mistake and too much of the momentum had escaped by the time you brought him back.
There's a part of me that feels like maybe Monty doesn't trust Booker with 5 fouls. And let's be honest, rightfully so, just one, like 30 seconds into that, and he fouls. I mean, he does foul Middleton or Drew Holiday. I forgot who was going up for that layup. I mean, he would have fouled out. So, you know, leaving him in for 5 extra minutes, I understand your point. I definitely do. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20 on this, and you're like, okay, well, I don't know.
I'm not saying don't take him out.
No, you're fine.
Go ahead, Matthew.
No, you're fine, dude. I was just going to say, it's crazy that we're still talking about in the playoffs and the finals how officiating is just so unreliable still. And whether or not it costs the Suns game, I don't really give a shit because I've never been the ref guy to get on the refs. But I was texting during the game like, hey, that 5th foul on Book should not have been called. They kind of cost the Suns that momentum. The Book that he had, that momentum going into the fourth quarter. And it's kind of like the Ayton thing that happened last game. But the same thing that happened last game with like the little mistakes, like Chris Paul was making those little mistakes where the Suns would kind of go on a little run and then just like a little turnover, just a bad pass. It's like, what the F are you doing? It started in the first quarter again tonight. And I was like, this has to stop, right? And it wasn't just Chris Paul. It was everybody. It was like these turnovers are just self-inflicted. They're not even anything that the Bucks are doing. When the Bucks got the ball, they're like, what? A fast break? Oh, thank you for the ball. Like, they didn't even do shit to get that ball. The Suns are just throwing it to them. And that's the worst part about this. And I didn't even know it was 17 turnovers I got on this podcast. And that is just unreal because you can't really blame anything else but that.
That and offensive rebounds. You can't overcome turnovers and offensive rebounds. You're just giving up points in that situation.
And if you look at the last two games combined, the Milwaukee Bucks, you know what? He's not here, but I'm going to do one. Dang, stat me.
John, you stat us. You stat us good.
That's a good stat right there. It's the Milwaukee Bucks have outscored the Suns on fast break 31-6. And tonight, it was a total of 15-0. And to Matthew's point, it was a lot of those Chris Paul getting himself stuck, throwing the ball to – there was one play where he just threw it right to Middleton. Oh, shit, thanks. And just, you know, that's how the game ended, essentially, was on that play where we're down 2 points. Chris Paul's driving. He just loses the ball, leads to another fast break. And you can't have these self-inflicted possessions, especially on the road in the NBA Finals. You know, this is a team that is notorious this season for taking care of the ball. It's one of their hallmarks. It's a team that, you know, they shoot decent from three, but their personality, the definition of this team is defense and taking care of the ball. You know, it's like a football team. You just want to run the ball and play defense. That's how you win championships. And all of a sudden, these last three games, Chris Paul just can't hold the ball. And I get it. Something's wrong with that left hand. He's got no left hand in this series because every time he goes there, it's kind of he's feeling it and he doesn't know where the ball is. He doesn't have the power to dribble it back to his right hand effectively. And you're seeing the result of that. And yes, anybody who thinks that Chris Paul needs to be benched, like, get the fuck out of this chat room. Get off this podcast. Disconnect. Go listen to Bill Simmons because he's probably all over Giannis.
I put that in the recap. In the first half, I was like, this offense looks better with Cameron Payne in it, even though he didn't do much. But the way Chris Paul was playing early, it's like, sorry, dude. I want to get kind of a good
lead
in this
game. Can we kick Lissy off? He just basically suggested what we're telling.
Don't read the recap.
Just don't read the recap on brightsideofthesun.com.
A lot of misspelled words and not so much hate. It was just a little bit.
Look, it's all right. Chris Paul, if that's the case, if his left hand is the problem, he's good enough to try to avoid going to it. Be smarter about it. Don't try to do all the fancy stuff that you do at 100%, because that's where the trouble came in when he tried to get cute. You know, figure out how you can have an impact in a game, even if you're injured, or if you're that hurt that you can't figure it out, then you ask out. But it's up to him to figure out how he can have a positive impact on this team the rest of the series.
The Bucks are making the Suns work for every shot that they get. And I think that goes back to your point, John, about the fast break points. You know, they're getting easy buckets, you know, every now and then, which is a nice little reprieve from having to battle for 24 seconds to try and get a good shot, right? The Suns are not fortunate like that right now. They're not getting easy buckets. They're not getting a lot of easy opportunities. Devin Booker, even the shots Devin Booker was making, some of those were just incredibly ridiculous. Difficult shots. Yeah. You know, so I mean, you got to give them credit that they're a good defensive team. They have always been a good defensive team. It's just people have for whatever reason, undervalued their effort. And, you know, what they needed was to go back home, hear that crowd, get a little energy, and feel confident in themselves. And so now we're all back to where we started. It's a 3-game series, best of two, first 1-2 wins, and the Suns have the home court advantage still. And we can't forget that. 2 out of 3 wins the championship. So if you're going to the game, you better be loud. And going back to Lissy's point about Chris Paul, I will say this. That is the most frustrating part. It's one thing to go up for a shot and maybe get it blocked, and that leads to a turnover, cool, or the ball swatted out of your hand, fine. But there was some turnovers that were just straight giving it to the Bucks, you know, either straight out of bounds or just in the middle of the key, not even close to a player, like, he's got to be better. He's just got to be better.
So question, and I was thinking about this as I was watching a couple possessions. Do you think that it would be a good idea, a good strategy to have some of the forwards maybe bring the ball up from time to time? Because Chris Cameron Paul's Johnson. Getting, yeah, have Cameron Johnson, has who Matthew loves, Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, because Chris Paul's getting hounded three quarters of the court the whole way down by Jrue Holiday. As we've mentioned, he's pushing him. He's doing everything he can. And again, I don't know how this guy, I mean, how many fouls did Jrue Holiday end up with in this game? One? Something like that. I mean, it was, he could have,
yeah,
maybe
it was two. It was one personal foul.
One personal foul.
Yeah.
I mean, he should have had four. I mean, for some of the things that Devin Booker was getting called for early, he should have had the same. But that being said, you can negate some of that physicality if you just have Jay Crowder bring the ball up. Instead of having Jay run that screen to take Jrue off of him, have him dribble up past half court, because you're not going to start the possession any later than you already do. Chris Paul doesn't get the ball over until like it's nearly 16. So do you think that would be an effective strategy to try to negate some of the physicality that's constantly coming from Jrue Holiday and PJ Tucker?
I think I'd go the other way. I think I'd play Book, CP3, and campaign at certain stints. Have three guys that can be the primary ball handler. Have three guys that can run the offense and make it tougher for them to put that pressure and just assume you're going to muck everything up, because at some point, one of those guys is going to find the mismatch, going to get the mid-range shot, going to get to the hoop. I might go more that direction, because I don't want to see where Cam Johnson or any of the forwards or the guys that are turning it over, because we're now putting them in the position to be the ball handler coming up the court. That just worries me and feels potentially desperate in going into a game five in the NBA finals.
You know, like I said, from the beginning, it just wasn't a clean game. There were so many small little things that I felt like were easily avoidable that the Suns made errors on, like Pat Connaughton offensive rebound right in front of DA for a putback. Like, those are crucial plays when you're talking about every little point possibly making a difference. And when the game is tied with less than a minute left to go, those plays are crucial, and the Suns just could not get those plays on their side tonight. And again, like Monty talks about the little things. Monty talks about making sure that you're playing hard and you're giving a full effort. And I feel like to some degree, maybe because of what's happened here in the recent past, especially in the playoffs, it's like you have recency bias and you remember being in that position. You're like, we've always come through before. Why wouldn't we now? But you forgot what got you to that point. And now the Suns are finding out like, oh, yeah, we got to clean this up. Otherwise, we're going to be looking at the wrong side of this. And I believe they will.
Cam Johnson. Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was just
gonna say, I was going to talk about Cam Johnson too. I was just going to say.
Well, good. You start, I'll throw in after. Go ahead.
He didn't get the rebounds, but what he does, and I love it, is he finds a body and puts himself on him to like just to – be some sort of force in there, because absolutely you need that. And honestly, none of the Suns players do that. They just look at the rim. DA, of course, can't do everything. And it sucks to say, but I feel like kind of like it's like maybe we need a little bit more energy out of him a little bit. But other than that, Cameron Johnson's the only guy out there really trying to put himself on a body to like try to tip it out, try to get it to one of his guys. Even if he doesn't get the rebound, just make an effort. There just was an effort from all the other guys.
Cam Johnson was 4 of 6, looked very good offensively. He should have had more shots in this game. When you had to put Book on the bench, you should have tried to find ways to get him looks more so than they did. That's what I find frustrating is they don't do a great job of finding the hot hand at times, unless that hot hand is Devin Booker, and that's just because they're looking for him constantly anyways.
Well, you know, and I'll go to this, you know, because I'm seeing a lot of DA chat in the comments right
well,
now.
Well, on and that note,
Baywatch 2021.
I'm sorry, but anytime somebody plays 39 minutes and only gets 9 shots, that's a problem. And I was watching DA tonight, and yes, he missed some bunnies and some shots that I think he should have made. But when you get one shot like every 8 minutes, there's no way you're getting into a flow. Defensively, he was fine because he knows what he's doing on the defensive end. He gets into a rhythm. He was able to secure rebounds. You know, like he was fine on the defensive end. I thought he played Giannis very well tonight without getting in foul trouble. And we all thought that, that was going to be the big key. And it was to keep them in this game because nobody else was really helping Devin Booker. But on the offensive side, again, we went through these spells when Devin wasn't getting the ball or if Devin was on the bench where we just completely act like DeAndre Ayton doesn't exist. And they were struggling to get a bucket. I just want to see once or twice getting my man the ball down low just to get an easy bucket or at least an attempt. If he goes 3-for-12, then he goes 3-for-12. It's no damn different than everybody else on the team.
Yeah, and if I see one more time where it's Connaughton or Holiday on him down low and they don't get him the freaking ball, I'm going to rip my television off the wall because it's ridiculous. Like the if there's a mouse in the house, get him the damn ball. Hey, to Sal's point, if he misses, he misses. But get it to him. It's the right basketball play to make.
But at the same time, if they're trying to get him the ball down there and he has Connaughton or Holiday on him and the defense collapses, now he turns into a great passer, which he's good at it as well. I don't know why they don't run anything for this guy. And I put a tweet out there, and I can't wait for the day where he's 22 feet away from the basket, that he has the ball, he turns around, he realizes nobody's on him, and he just attacks like Giannis does. Because right now he turns around, he's like, oh shit, I'm by myself. Okay, let me wait for a screen handoff. And that's his entire offensive game right now. And he's relying on those offensive rebounds in an effort to try to make some offense and score some points. The Suns, for some reason, don't run any offense for him. If it's any high screen and rolls, it's the guard keeps the ball the whole time or they kick it to a three-point shooter. They're not actively trying to get it to him. The only time they actively tried to get it to him in this game is the very end when Giannis blocked the shot on an amazing play by Giannis that we're going to have to watch 30 fucking times now until game five comes along on Saturday.
I still think that may have been the wrong play by Booker.
Yeah, he had the basket.
I was so shocked by that. I actually was the alley-oop out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like, you're as hot as you are. Take the shot that close.
But I'm actually kind of opposite with this, though, with DA really quick. Just he seemed like he had, and John's right, they're not calling plays for him, but he has the mismatches. And to me, when I'm watching it, he's a guy out there that looks like he lost his wallet trying to find it in the key. Like he runs away from the play. But then I think that's just him not being involved in the offense, not calling the play. They're calling him off to do something else. And it just doesn't make sense because his positioning isn't there, though.
They're clearing his side. They're clearing his side. You'll see DA post up, and then Paul will come around the other side, and then DA will have to clear out so they can give some more room on the right side. That's what they're doing every single time instead of just posting him up. And there was times, there was at least six times where DA had good, solid post position, and they were trying to figure out how to get him the ball, couldn't give him the ball, screwed it all up, and they just ended up going to Devin Booker, who bailed him out most of the time. But, like, again, it's a little bit of both. I will agree with you, Lizzie. There's a little bit of both. Like, he's got to – but unless you're seeing DA physically out there slapping his hands, telling him, give me the ball, you're always going to think he's playing soft, or you're always going to think that he's not playing as aggressive as he is because he's not that dude. He's not going to do that. He's not going to show up his teammates.
Yeah.
Well, John, to your point, when he turns and there's nobody on him, when he's up at the three-point line, I want him to shoot one of those. Because if he makes it, that's going to change the defense on him, right?
Absolutely.
It's going to at least make them think we can't just leave him open on an island there. He's not just going to turn and do the handoff. He's not going to stand there until somebody gets the ball. Something offensively. Shoot that three, drive a little bit. Anything, I think, would change the dynamic offensively in that situation. There were two or three times, in particular in the first half, where he did that. And that seems to be something that is just missing right now in that offense, in that game. And maybe that's an evolution that happens over the next year with DA, but right now it would be helpful. But something Monty Williams said at halftime, they showed that clip of him talking to the team, and he said, we talked about it all week. They're outworking us. And that was at halftime, and it held true in the second half too. The Bucks, if it got those 50-50 balls, they made things happen for themselves on the glass and causing turnovers. The Suns need to get back to being the aggressors in this series. They need to force some of that action for themselves. And hopefully the home cooking makes us a little bit easier.
When you look at the boards tonight, the Suns out-rebounded the Bucks on the defensive glass 35-31. But on the offensive glass, it was 17-5. Like, I didn't know that I would miss Dario as much as I do, but, you know, I feel like having him in there for just a few more minutes would be it would have helped. But the Suns don't do a good job of crashing the offensive boards, and they're losing in transition as well. So it's kind of this conundrum we're stuck in where you're allowing Drew Holiday and Pat Connaughton and these, you know, these little guys to get in there and get those offensive rebounds. I mean, Pat Connaughton had 3 offensive boards tonight and 9 rebounds.
17-5 on offensive boards and 17-5 in turnovers.
Yes. Interesting.
Dude, that's 24 extra possessions right there.
Yes. And look at the overall shots that were taken by the Bucks in an effort to beat the Suns. They shot the ball 97 times. The Suns shot the ball 78 times.
There you go.
So we
there
shot 51% from the field, but because of our mistakes and our lack of hustle on the offensive glass or our defensive glass, we gave up a win. And that's, you know, again, take this as a negative in this context, but you look forward, and those are things that you can shore up. Taking care of the ball on stupid turnovers, like Matthew said, these aren't turnovers that were caused because the length of the defense, because, you know, we would throw the ball and, you know, Giannis is just so long, he kept picking the ball 20 times. No, there were some dumb turnovers. And if you focus on those offensive boards and say, hey, we crashed the glass, because the Suns could not get a 50-50 ball to save their life tonight. It seems like every time they do try to crash the glass, they're hitting the ball up, and then the Bucks are the ones who are grabbing it down. And those are the balls in the Clippers series, the Nuggets series, the Lakers series. Those are the things that we grasped and we held on to and equated to our victories. And it's not happening for us in these past 2 games in Milwaukee, but it's definitely something that we've shown an affinity for executing. And I think that moving forward, we can do so. And that, you know, so therefore it is a positive. It just, again, we didn't do it tonight.
Another stat. You know, we all kind of, you know, we were all kind of, you know, excited about the ball movement in game 2, you know, especially on that one possession where it seemed like 5,000 people touched the ball before DeAndre Ayton got an and one at the end. That's been kind of missing the last couple games. This game, 18 assists on 40 makes, whereas Milwaukee had 22 makes on 39. But typically the Suns are a little bit more than 50% of their made shots on assists. You know, they're if they had 40 shots, they'd at least have 20 assists, if not 25 to 30. Like, they've been one of the best passing teams in the league. And this game, not so much.
Well, when Chris Paul's playing with casts on both of his hands, that's what happens. Jesus. It's going to slowly build to Chris Paul lost both of his hands.
Yeah.
And it was playing without hands in this game. Like, look, that's the problem. Chris Paul is the engine that leads to those assists. If he's not playing that way, they don't share the ball the same way. And this turned into a lot of hero ball from Devin Booker. It just wasn't anything that anybody was mad at because he was making everything, right? That's why there weren't as many assists, because it was find Devin. Devin's going to dribble. Devin's going to pull up over 2 guys and make a crazy shot. And I'm fine with that when he's making them like that. But that stretch that he was out because of the 5th foul, they could not overcome that because they had no flow offensively at that point. The best play that happened, and actually that was when Devin Booker had just come back in, was that play that they ran for Cam Johnson in the corner where he came off 2 screens on an inbound. Like, that was the smoothest part of their offense in the 4th that didn't involve Devin. So, look, breaking news, though, guys. DraftKings free-to-play pools are keeping it cool all summer long. Choose from a wide variety of free contests to enter the pool and answer a handful of questions. Make a pick for free and grab your share of $10,000. That'll make you feel a little bit better. Who cares about a loss if you can win $10,000.
Yeah, that'll give me 1 ticket at game 5.
Yes. Actually, all that shifts to game 7 now. Those are $10,000, even though we don't know if there'll be one. Dive into a DraftKings pool today. Entering one of DraftKings free-to-play pools is simple. Just download the DraftKings app, head to the pool pages, select from one of the DraftKings contests ranging from evening sporting events to wacky weather Wednesdays. We had another one of those today, guys. It rained here. Who'd have guessed? Then make your picks, watch the action unfold, entries with the most correct answers will be deemed the winner. Again, that is how winning works. Don't you forget that. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app, sign up, use the code DRYHEAT. All players will have a free shot at grabbing $10,000 if you use that code DRYHEAT. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Sorry, guys.
Okay, can I say one thing real quick?
Yes.
If I'd have told you, and I know this is going to be complete cheesy optimism, but if I'd have told you back in November or December that we would be in the NBA Finals with a 2-2 tie, coming back home with home court advantage, you'd have taken it all day, every day.
There you go.
And see, here we are.
Yep.
Yeah. I gotta be honest too. At work today, I did tell people, and I can have them come forward. I'm like, the Suns are gonna win this series, whether or not they lose tonight or win tonight. It does suck, but they're gonna win this series. And even if it's seven, that's how it happens sometimes. Sometimes it takes seven games. And that's the way I felt today. It does suck during the time when they're actually just turning the ball over, all that crap, and losing the game themselves. But it might be a seven game series, so just get ready for it.
And to Saul's point, like, look at local Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. None of them expected us to be here. They're all on vacation because July is always the time where nobody, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
And you know, I was listening to Dave Burns today, and he was just like, "I got to tell my family, like, wait to go to San Diego because this, I want to be here for this moment," and we all want to. This is typically the time where Matthew and I are sitting here breaking down draft prospects on our podcast. So the fact that we're talking about a 2-2 tie in the NBA Finals, you know, again, am I frustrated with this loss? Absolutely. How can you not be? It was right there for the picking. It was right there. We had it. Devin Booker did everything he could to will this team to a victory. But at the same time, when you take a step back, when you recover from your hangover tomorrow and you wake up and you wipe the dirt out of your eyes and some of the sweat because you fell asleep outside because you were drinking too much tonight, you'll remember that it's 2-2, okay? And it's raining on you because monsoons now happen at 8 in the morning, not 7 at night, you know, because everything's fucking backwards in Arizona.
You sleeping on the farm, John?
Yeah, I'm not happy on the farm. I passed out there last night. And, you know, it's going to be okay. And I think that, again, we're coming home. We have home court advantage. Like Monty Williams said in the bubble last year, you fight so hard so you have that home court advantage. And guess what? We have that. We have the best damn fans in the entire NBA. And I think that they're going to show up and show out and boo it. And just remember to boo ESPN every chance you can. Boo Jalen Rose, Bill Simmons' good buddy, Jalen Rose, who's chanting Bucks and six.
Hold on. Let's not act like Jalen Rose is some impartial a bystander, right? He still hates the Suns because they didn't play him.
I know.
The one year he was on the roster. So, like, sure, personal beef. Have fun, Jalen. I don't give a crap because you know what makes Bucks and six sound stupid? Coming home and winning on Saturday and then going back to Milwaukee and kicking them in the teeth. Then Bucks and six sounds as dumb as Suns and four, right? That's what you have to do. Like, it's a cheesy marketing slogan, but we must protect this house, and that's what Saturday comes down to. Win at home. Do what you've done all year. Saul, to your point, if I had told us we'd be tied at 2-2 before game one of the series after four, we would have said, okay, that's good. We're in it, and we're coming home, right? Like, it's all perspective with it. This game sucked. They should be up 3-1. There is no doubt about that. But if you look at this, to the points that have been made, these are correctable mistakes coming home to get things done. And if we know anything about Monty Williams, he's going to break the crap out of this film. He's going to break it down, probably already is starting on the plane, and we'll be looking at it and pounding it into these guys over the next 2 days that this is the crap you can't do. You can't stop whatever the refs are doing. You can't let that get in your head. And I think one of the things that they need to do is, if they're going to get fouls called against them, make the Bucks pay when you're fouling them.
Mm-hmm.
Make them hard fouls. Make it clear that you're the aggressor and take some of that back.
So and I have another question because everybody shot down my forwards bringing up the ball every now and then. Just to kinda,
so I thought about that tonight, dude. I actually, when Cam Johnson did it a few times,
yeah, he did it a few times. I'm like, that's
he has good handles. He has good handles. I trust that dude.
Cam Johnson could walk the ball up, lay on center court hugging the ball. You'd love it, Lissy.
Oh, of course.
Let's be honest.
I think everybody needs to donate money in the Super Chat so we can get Matthew a Cam Johnson jersey because he absolutely loves this kid. But here's another thing that Matthew and I were talking about on our pre-jam, which we recorded on Spotify Green Room last night.
Hey, Nick.
What about Javon Carter?
What about
I him? Feel like I always am the guy who is pounding the pavement to bring in Javon for a few minutes. If you want to add a little bit of defensive intensity, maybe, he's got six fouls on him too. Maybe he can go at Drew Holiday a little bit. And I understand switches and things of that nature, but I think that, why not give him a shot? Don't need him to, you have him on the court with CP3 or Booker. So he's not ball dominant. He can hoist up three pointers and he can play some defense. I mean, shit, they were giving Abdel Nader minutes against the Clippers. Why not that?
Drew Holiday would beat that dude senseless down low. He's already taken advantage of Chris Paul, and Chris Paul physically is stronger than Javon Carter. So there's
one move. Back down, spin right.
Left. Oh, I know.
They've got to watch that film and just set him up for the charge.
But you bring in Javon Carter for who? Who are you taking out? You're not taking out campaign.
Probably some of those CP3 minutes. Probably some of those CP3 minutes when he needs a little bit more rest. He's turned them over three.
But if CP3, yes. Oh,
yeah.
Is the next Devin segment? Why do we play?
Are we going back to 2019 right now? What's going on?
So I was wondering.
We want Point Book and Javon Carter in at the same time. Is that what's going on?
Do you think Elia Kobo is currently available?
Yes, I believe he's
somebody already brought up Rashawn Holmes in the chat, so we might as well just take it all the way back to 19 wins, baby.
Is the next segment how Jalen Smith could be the savior of the NBA Finals?
No, the next segment is how the 2019 Suns were better than this year's Suns.
We've hit full panic mode here.
Because they beat the Bucks that year. Yeah, I get it.
Twice.
As Fabio says in the chat, let's bring back Point Bender.
Hey, oh, that was a dream. All right. Oh, man.
Bender Island, it's alive and kicking. All right.
Remember that one spin move he had? He had the one spin move, turn around and spin move.
It was amazing that one time. That summer league play. God, that was good.
John, I'm actually
– Where's Josh Jackson when you need him, huh?
I know. I don't know, man.
Hot boxing a child.
Yeah, I was just going to say
that. He's on Chiba Island. What the hell? What is going on there?
Chiba Island.
I kind of agree with you, John. A little bit, maybe.
In there, please?
Done.
Yeah, that's Thank ridiculous.
Javon, anyways,
that's on your
Javon Carter. Just Javon really, Carter. Let me, so I think it's a good idea. But right now, when you're in the finals, and I actually sent out the tweet, hey, bring this guy in, see what he can do. But when you're in the finals this far right now to mess with rotations and stuff, it would kind of mess it up, right? I mean, I think that's what Monty's thinking. I think he's just sticking to his guys. The only reason they lost tonight wasn't because Drew Holiday was backing down all night long. I mean, he did it a few times, and it was really frustrating, but that's not the reason they lost. They lost because of their own mental mistakes. If they were seriously being outplayed in the point guard position, and if it was Cameron Payne that was just giving up too much on the defensive end, then yeah, maybe bring him in. But that wasn't really the case towards the end of the game. So I want to see Javon Carter because he doesn't hesitate on the corner three like Cam Payne did tonight where he stepped out of bounds, another crucial turnover. He would have just shot that three up, so that would have been nice. But other than that, I think you just got to stick with this rotation he has right now.
Yeah, that's the obvious reason, right?
Yeah, I think he's a creature of habit, too. When you get to the NBA Finals and you've done as much as you have to get here, you just making massive rotational changes right now is a dangerous thing to start doing because you can. It's a one thing for fans to overreact in these moments. It is a completely another thing for the head coach to start overreacting in these moments. That's problematic if that comes up.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So no Ford running the ball up the court and no Javon Carter. I had a couple other suggestions. I'm just going to go ahead and cross those off my notes so they don't see the light of day.
Man, just don't bring up anything else.
Okay, well, what about the blocks? Like, we did really well blocking the ball, guys. 9-3, yay.
Yeah, a lot of good that did. I'm just kidding.
Damn, I can't fucking win tonight. I'm like the Suns. So I guess on that note, I'm just going to go.
Jam star of the game.
This reminder to everybody who is watching along live in the chat, go ahead and give us a thumbs up. We didn't lose tonight. We won. We came on after a loss in the NBA Finals. Subscribe wherever you're watching this as well. And let us know in the chat who your Jam star of the game is. I'll start with you, Matthew.
Let's be clear. We've trained for this moment. We've trained for losses after games.
I'm telling you, this is the best therapy there is, because I was pissed, didn't want to come on, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sit with my best friends here, my best son's friends, with all the Jamsters and Flaming Ballers in the chat, and this is like therapy. It brings me down. It resets everything. So I'm good, and I think we all agree that Devin Booker's the Jam star of the game. Or am I wrong there too, Espo?
I charge $300 an hour for being your best friend there. So
I thought we were going to discuss that on air.
Is there any way it's not Book? Like CP3? No, nobody for that. All right, yeah, it's Booker. There's nobody else it could be.
Yeah, it's only Devin Booker, and that's it. And Coda Kid, we will block anybody we want to if they're going to come onto this chat and say some outlandish, crazy, awful shit. Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, people are taking it to next level social media type stupid shit.
We're getting too famous now, man.
It was a Bucks fan, and she was trying to say some stupid stuff in the chat. And that's just uncalled for.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. That was not the Jam star of the game. Matthew was for getting that block on. Dude, Matthew, you're the Jam star of the game for blocking that individual.
Yeah, just a couple clicks away. So I think it's Devin Booker, and what sucks is like it's another fourth quarter where we have to deal with foul issues, taking him out of the game. You know, can we just have a game where somebody's going off and they can just stay in the game with two fouls? And just see how it goes. See if they get 60 points. See if they can lead their team to a win. Be something historical to watch on replay instead of these refs. And there's a few calls on Book tonight that did suck, but some of them were his fault. But I'm just saying, like, can we just have that, please? Because it's taken away from the game, and it sucks to watch.
Yeah.
Part of the game, especially when you get to this part.
Especially at this level. I mean, you go back year after year, finals after finals. Think of all the finals we've watched since 1993, in which we have had the, I wouldn't say the pleasure, but just, you know, we've watched as neutral fans for the most part, and there's always bad calls, and that's just the way it goes. So you have to take the good with the bad, and I've said this before, and I'll say this again, and I'll always say this relative to refereeing, no matter what the sport is, never put yourself in a situation where the referees are determining the outcome of the game, period. If you're better than that, you're better than that. And you know what? The Suns had an opportunity to be better than that tonight. And when you turn the ball over 17 times, you're not going to win ball games.
Go ahead, Saul.
Well, and being out-rebounded on the offensive glass by 12. You know, that swings the game right there. Like I said, 24 extra possessions. You can't give any team at any level 24 extra possessions unless, you know, somehow the ASU football team was playing the U of A football team in basketball. Then you can give them 95,000 possessions and U of A still ain't going to win. So there you go. There's your ASU thing for the day.
There you go. Look, that first quarter set the tone, because I think the Suns shot something like 51% and the Bucks shot 29%. And there really wasn't much of a gap there, right? In terms of that, that's where the Suns should have pulled away.
Yes,
is in that situation. But if you give up second chance points, you can't pull away. And that's why it gives the Bucks the opportunity there in the fourth. Well, Devin has to sit because of the fouls to take that lead. So if you just handled your business the way you have all year, you're not in that situation. To your point, the refs can't take a game from you at that point because you've done what it takes to win. You've put yourself in the situation to win. They did not do that tonight. But I'll look straight into the camera and talk straight into the mic for this one. For those of you listening to the audio only, the Suns will win on Saturday. Then they're going to go to Milwaukee and they're going to win in game six. And it's going to be Suns and six, and everybody's going to love what the series was. And we'll forget about how frustrated we are in this moment because Mr. Larry is coming back to Phoenix.
Really? Larry Fitzgerald's coming back to the Cardinals?
No.
I didn't know he made the announcement.
Larry O'Brien, along with Larry Fitzgerald, will be coming back on that jet.
Can you come back somewhere you've never been?
Oh, it'll be, I guess technically, Technically, no. I mean, it was here in games one and two.
First arriving.
It was in the building. It will call Phoenix home after game six. Is that better for you, Tom?
There you go. There you go. There you go. Hey, I just want to say this. The Suns are obviously they're one of the best teams in the NBA. They showed it all year. And the reason why is because they did all the small things that win you ball games. And there was too many times in this game, case in point, Chris Paul going to the hole, he misses his shot, falls on the ground, doesn't get back on defense, and immediately, you can ask my kids, we're sitting there, I'm like, Connaughton's going to be wide open in the corner for a three. Sure enough, Middleton to Giannis, Giannis skips it to Middleton or to Connaughton in the corner for a three because it's 5-on-4, and he hits it to take the lead, and I'm like, those are the small things that the Suns usually take advantage of. It's going back the other way. They're going to clean it up. I have confidence that they will. They absolutely need to take care of business in game five because to Espo's point, yes, it'd be fantastic if they win in game five and then go on the road in Milwaukee and take care of business. But the same thing could be the other way around, and you don't want to go down that road. You don't want to go to Milwaukee having to win that game with everything on the line. You don't want to.
You've been down that road two other times in the NBA Finals where game six was your death knell because you were down 3-2 and you just didn't have enough to take care of it. Do not put yourself in that situation. Make it impossible for a Bucks and six to happen. Win Saturday. That is all that matters. Everything this season is right now focused on Saturday. Win at all cost, whatever it takes. Win on Saturday.
Yeah, you CP3 better be drinking that secret stuff, like by the gallon over the week. And also, can we put my man in a bubble so he could just walk like this for like the next two days and not like bend his wrists at all or anything like that? Like, I need all the therapy in the world, all the duct tape, whatever we got to do to my man CP3 to get him right. You know, let's bring in Mr. Miyagi, whatever the hell we got to do. Let's get it.
Sacrifice Cliff Ball's wrists and do wrist transplant. I don't care. Bathe in that secret stuff, CP3. Get in that bathtub and bathe in that secret stuff because you need to be better for game five.
Well, and I think
if his hands are bandaged up, though, you can't really make the choking sign, right? After he loses.
Listen, I'm about to kick you off of this show right now.
Forever.
We all know that the Suns are capable of doing it. And I think that's one thing that I do have confidence in, is I still have confidence in this team because I believe that we are the better team, complete team, complete roster. Everybody can contribute. It's frustrating to see the Suns waste another quality Jay Crowder game because we know that, you know, Jay Crowder will go off for three games like he's done. And you try to win those games because, you know, that barren wasteland of 1-for-9 is laying out there somewhere. I just hope it doesn't happen for the rest of the season. But at the same time, this team, if Jay's not hitting it, Jay's going to give the effort on defense. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, up and down this roster, this team is solid. They're deep, and they have the correct coaching who's going to provide the correct adjustments. These young men have both Chris Paul, who fucked up tonight, and he's going to own it in front of his team. And he's going to say, this one's on me, guys. Allow me the opportunity to move forward and lead you to the promised land, but I'm going to need you as well. I feel bad for Devin Booker for putting up such a phenomenal performance that nobody will talk about. They're going to talk about how great Chris Middleton was and, you know, Giannis, ESPN Giannis.com or whatever it is, their new site that they're opening up, specifically dedicated simply to everything that is Giannis. But you know what? This team is the better team. And as we come home here on Saturday, as you're right, Espo, everything comes down to Saturday. You don't want – the Suns have never won three in NBA Finals in their history. Let's go win that third one, huh? Let's get that elusive third one before we get the fourth one. I think we can do it. And Matthew, Chris Paul, he's mad at you now for saying those choking jokes.
I'm sure he doesn't give a shit about me.
They're not funny. I'm not laughing.
Yeah, but at least we have Devin Booker, and that's someone that we can trust in, right? It's crazy how this game was basically like the one before, but he was just making those difficult shots. And I believe in him, and you believe in the rest of the team, but they're just so close to like that one piece away. And it was the one piece tonight was Chris Paul. And two games ago, it was Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Now, next game, you know you're going to get the full momentum from all those guys going into this game, and they're just going to take over. I can feel it right now. You know, I can feel it.
He's feeling it, man. He's feeling it, man.
Did you put some extra sauce in your drink or something like that? What's going on?
He's got Chris's secret stuff. He switched it out.
I took a gummy, so it's hitting right now.
There you go.
Is there anything else we should be focusing on? Because now we have 3 more days until the next game. How are you guys going to survive in the next 3 days? I really wish it was like 2 days from now.
Yeah, I don't understand this schedule at all.
Our mental health. We all should find ways to feel a little bit more zen over the next 3 days, because game 5 is going to be rough. Regardless, man. I mean, we're likely in, if this goes the full 7, for 3 more really close nail-biter games based off of what we saw tonight. So find some time to self-love, however you want to go with that.
Usually when I'm not when I don't have a team in the fight, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want more of this series. I just want more. I want this to go 7, 9, 11, 13, whatever, right? Now that we're in the seat, I'm like, oh my God, just end this as fast as possible, because I can't take it. I felt like I was going to throw up in the fourth quarter. I was just so nervous. And I know the players, they can sense it. They can feel, you know, the energy and how much pressure are in these moments. And you're seeing the cream rise to the top. I expect Chris Paul to bounce back. Mark my words, Chris Paul will have his best game of the season in game 6 in Milwaukee.
Will they be down 3-2?
I don't know.
Well, I know that in preparation for the next game, and because I have so much time, I'm just going to use the Lawnmower 4.0 by Manscaped. Make sure you use code SUNSJAM to get free shipping and stuff.
You can use it on your face, too.
Hold on. If that's what relaxes you, we need to have a chat, John.
Yeah. Dude, I'm the most relaxed dude ever, man. I'm just in there for hours. Just slow scaping. That's what we call it.
Just slow scaping. In the tub, legs propped up.
Got some bubbles. Got some candles. Rocking the new Nickelback album.
He's taking his own Sarge smoke break. He's just having fun in the bathtub with the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. Use the code FLAMINGBALLER to save 20% and get free shipping.
And if you use SunsJam, it's 15%. So,
and he'll send you a picture of him in the bathtub.
Yes, a life-size poster. You put it right above.
I would hate to walk in on you, John. If you really do that, I would hate to walk in.
Lock the door.
Please don't. Yeah, I'm like, don't lock the door, though. You know,
John, paint me like one of your son's players. Anyways, we've gone too long.
Yes, we have. And on that note,
go home and love your CP3, all right?
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on the Suns Jam Session and Suns Solar Panel Podcast. Subscribe on YouTube and smash that like button while you're here. You can become an elite jam story flaming baller by clicking the join button or following the link in the description. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you for lending us your ears. Please subscribe, rate, and review. And go Suns, baby. You know, we'll see you on Saturday night. Matthew, you and I will probably do another pre-jam for game 5. And I think we're going to do it on Twitter Spaces this time. We're going to try that out. We've done Spotify Green Room. We'll try Twitter Spaces as well, because we just love talking. So
whatever you want, buddy. I'm there for you.
There you go. Anything else?
Go home and love your family.
Okay.